Hi everyone, and welcome to this very special podcast, bringing together all of the best bits from our OU Students Radio show. The live phone lines are now closed, but we'd still love to hear from you. You can keep in touch by finding us on Facebook if you search for Open University Students Association, following us on Twitter at OU Students or on Instagram at OU Students Live. We'd love to hear what you thought of the show, so make sure you include hashtag OU Students Radio. You can always email us too, and the address is ousa@open.ac.uk. Really hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello and good evening to you all. Later in the day than the last couple of shows that we've had. On my right, I have...
Mark Cameron, the Student Association Representative for Scotland.
Hi, I'm Wendy Burrell and I work here on campus for the Students Association.
And I'm Jess and I also work for the Students Association. And this evening too, I'm going to be your link to the outside world.
You're my link to the outside world.
I am. I'm going to keep in touch with our lovely Anna and Sandra, who are taking care of the Twitter sphere and Facebook, and also the lovely Victoria, who's going to be manning the phones tonight.
We have such things as discussions on mindfulness. Have you ever heard of it? Do you understand it?
Yeah, I think it's lots of heavy breathing, isn't it?
I had to Google it. I had no idea. We've got an interview with Peter Horrocks. Who's Peter Horrocks, you may be asking? No, not really. You should know. And later on, we'll be finding about hashtag part-time matters.
It's very useful mindfulness. So students are, you know, they've got lots on their plate. And I think, you know, mindfulness techniques helps with those anxieties and those pinch points that students have during the course of their studies.
Yeah, because we're all aware, aren't we, really, that an OU student is a part-time student. They're a part-time student for a reason. So they're juggling lots of things.
Yeah.
Their own home life, their work life. Yeah. Perhaps they're a carer.
Sure.
Perhaps they've got health issues, but they are studying. So they've got to sort of slot in and find out how to amalgamate it all into a...
Yeah, and keep all those balls in the air.
Yes. Yeah, so this is where mindfulness comes in.
Yeah.
And we shall obviously learn more about it. We've got an OU mental health advisor, Emma Greenstein, talking to us. And we have Kath Brown from the societies.
We want students to be in touch with us tonight, don't we?
We do.
The best sort of student support is from other students.
So, right. What's your perfect day? As an OU student?
As an OU student? Well, I find if I get up early, I can do a bit of study, and that's perfect for my OU student day, because that's when I'm at my best thinking.
Yeah, I'm a morning studier. What about you?
Completely the opposite. I function better much later in the day.
What's your perfect day, Jess?
My perfect day? In my garden, my perfect day. I absolutely love being in the garden. So I think my perfect day would be wandering around, doing some planting, maybe having a little snooze. But yeah, definitely in the garden. And probably some food. Well, yeah, quite a lot of food.
Barbecue.
Yeah, probably a barbecue. Maybe quite a lot of quite a lot of those ice creams.
that lovely
chocolatey outside coating and the creamy, smooth.
You just wanted a great big magnum size ice cream, didn't you, really?
Yeah, that's
a ginormous one. Yes. Okay, well.
But what about your perfect day, Sue? Or have you had a kind of maybe not so perfect day?
Yes, maybe not so perfect day. During my role as Vice President Representation, I have been known to travel up here to Milton Keynes on a couple of occasions and back home to from whence I came. And so that involves train journeys, really. And a couple of weeks ago, my not-so-perfect day... Well, most of the day was perfect. Yeah. I was enjoying it. I was engaging with students and stuff and sort of participating in my role. And I got to the station and there were delayed trains for technical reasons. And so anyway, I thought, oh, I'll catch the next train that is going my way. So I did. And it's about an hour and a half, I think, hour and 40 minutes or so on the train. And I found actually I needed the loo. So I went into the toilet and I locked the door and was having a wee.
As you do.
The door started to open. And you very, very quickly realise it's not a perfect day. There is nothing you can do because the other side of the room is where the buttons are to shut the said door.
What did you do, sir?
I looked at the other passengers went, oh, hello, because they were about 2 foot away from me. And at that moment, the door started to shut.
Ooh, a bit of a relief.
So, yeah, so it's just like, that was surreal. I can get over that. But no, the door opened again. So I looked and I thought, hello again. And they smiled back at me. And then the door slowly shut, during which time I turned to look and I looked down the whole train and realised way in the distance, and I wonder if you're listening, Mr. Man who saw me, the look that came across his face that said, I really don't believe what I'm seeing. And my look on my face said, yes, you really are seeing this. Anyway, suffice to say, I eventually got out of the toilet and then a gentleman went into said toilet. So I'm thinking, perhaps it was just human error with locking a door. I'm of a mature age and I think I've learnt to lock doors. Three times for this gentleman the door opened. He didn't say hello. He rather went down the swear route. And finally, a youth, was walking down the train and they were heading towards the toilet. So all of us at this point just went, the door's faulty. No can do. So he thanked us, opened the door, went in. The door remained locked for the whole time that he was in there. He came out, he thanked us. And it was like, was that real? Was that really what happened?
So have you got over it, Sue? Are you over it now?
Well, because I keep telling everybody about it.
You relive it.
I'm reliving it. I think sort of the thing to come out of that was, in one sense, sometimes things are beyond your control. You have to accept it, sort of look on the bright side, have a laugh about it. I've crossed that off my bucket list now. It wasn't even on my bucket list, but I think, yes, put it on the bucket list. Do you think it's about time we listened to Emma Greenstein, the OU mental health advisor? I think she's possibly got lots to say, which will help you understand a little bit more about mindfulness.
We're really lucky to be joined today by Emma Greenstein, and Emma is the university's mental health advisor. We all know that it can be really hard, stressful and pressured to be an AU student, particularly at those kind of crunch times like exam time, which we've obviously just had. You know, we all have mental health, and I think you'd kind of agree with that. So what can students do when they're at home and their own studying and they're feeling the pinch big style? What can they do to kind of help protect their own mental health? What would you suggest?
Well, how long have you got? No two students are the same, and what will make one person feel calm and relaxed won't work for another student. So I think it's about knowing yourself and knowing what you do personally to make yourself feel better in times of pressure. Some people need to connect with others, so it's about involving other friends and family members or members of their community in their lives to get support if they're feeling under pressure. whereas other people need time out, maybe to take the dog for a walk or to cut off a bit more from other people, and they need a bit of solitude when they're under pressure. So no two people are the same. The mindfulness practice is about practicing to pay attention. If you want to know more about it, the best site you can go to, I think, is actually called Mindfulness for Students. Just Google Mindfulness for Students and it'll give you some free resources, some free meditations, some free exercises. Some of them are like 2 minutes long. There's a 2-minute stress buster, which I always recommend to students for exams. So it's about us knowing what you need. And you might not know yourself, so we've got lots of ideas. So it's about talking to someone in your student support team or your tutor or both. And you can get in touch by phone or by email. So if you're feeling like the last thing you can do is pick up the phone, please just send an email.
That's really clear, that message then. If you're feeling like you need some help,
don't be alone.
Really do talk.
Absolutely, absolutely. We want you to have a good experience. We want you to be able to continue, or we want you to know what your options are. If you think, actually, the best thing I can do now is to be kind to myself and have a break. Yeah. You know, there's lots of flexibility. So please don't just go off the radar or disappear. Ask for some support or for some help or a discussion. And we will try and work out with you what you want to do, what's best for you as a student.
One last little question for you, Emma. If you could have your perfect day, what would it be, do you think?
Perfect day? My goodness, can I just choose one?
One. You have to pick.
Well, I love to be by the sea. So I think being outdoors, not sitting at a desk all day and actually spending a long day, getting up early and in not too hot, but nice and sunny, and walking by the sea and, just being outdoors, having some good food, spending some time with friends and being by the coast would make it a pretty special day. Maybe a barbecue in the evening or go out to the pub, something, not cooking, not doing any washing up, but just being outdoors as much as possible, I think would make my day pretty perfect. Thank you.
That sounds pretty good to me. Can I come?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a great one for huge solitude, although, you know, that it's all about balance. Sometimes you do want a bit of quiet, but no, I'd rather walk along with friends.
Yeah, brilliant.
I would imagine it's really good around exam time. You know how you get those exam nerves that actually stop you performing as well as you should do?
Yes.
And if you can just sort of take some time to just cast those worries aside. You know, you can work and work, but you still get all of those sort of jittery feelings. And I think that's where mindfulness could help.
And many students we know of haven't done an exam since their school days, could be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years up. And, of course, the EMA, or what's EMA short for? Because we don't abbreviate on this programme.
End of module assessment.
There we go, thank you.
Which is just as bad as an exam, in my opinion.
Have you ever done any mindfulness, Wendy?
Well, actually, I went for quite an important interview.
Oh, right.
And before I got into the interview, I actually sat in a quiet room on my own and tried to just gather my thoughts and tried to calm my nerves, and it really worked. In fact, I nearly went to sleep. But no, seriously, it's a really good technique. And I mean, I've only read a little bit about it, but the little I've read, I want to do some more. I'm sure it could help.
Hashtag Wendy was mindful. What about you, Mark? Have you been mindful in any way?
Numerous occasions, knowing me, Sue.
Yes.
Yeah, from those times you've mentioned about exams, I try to mentally picture myself in the room, but when I actually got there, I was the only one at that exam venue.
You were the only one at an exam venue?
Yeah.
That must have been weird.
It relaxed me so much more, Wendy.
Okay.
It was a strange experience, I guess, in my parts of the country where I live, that is probably going to be the norm. And I also knew the invigilator, she had tutored me in a previous course.
So you felt very comfortable.
It relaxed me completely. I usually use music to calm the nerves.
Oh, I listen to about 3 songs a year, really loud, and for about 10 minutes, and then that's my music thing.
How about you, Sue?
Well, I think I possibly practice it when I don't really notice it, but I'm going to demonstrate now mindfulness and not being mindful with a chocolate bar.
Mm.
See, I've been staring at this chocolate bar since we've been on air.
You're going to take a photo of this and tweet it to
chocolate bar. We're just taking a photo, dear viewer, so that you can look at me with said chocolate bar. And to just live in the moment of chocolate is like, I need chocolate, go to
fridge.
You mean
fridge. You're not going to glump it down?
No, I think because then you don't actually take time to recognise the lusciousness that is chocolate. Mm. So right in front of my microphone, for all of you who can't eat chocolate, who've eaten too much chocolate since Christmas, it's still in the fridge. Can you listen to the rattle and rustle of chocolate wrapper? And, oh, there's bits just dropping down of crumbly bits of chocolate.
So you should put that in the fridge, really.
Oh, chocolate in the fridge, isn't it lovely? Mm. Tends to shout less in the fridge, I find. Mm. And you do live in the moment when you have to just really bite into your piece of chocolate. So I'm looking at the bar. It's quite a substantial size for a moment of mindfulness.
Family size.
Yes, it's family size. It's been brought in on a lorry. Just how I like it. And you can smell the chocolate. So just take a moment. You are allowed to sniff the chocolate.
How many
calories
that is
chocolatey.
In a quick
well,
sniff of chocolate.
There's no calories. And actually, there's if you eat your chocolate bar mindfully, I'm certain, as certain can be at this time of day, with a chocolate bar in front of my face, that there aren't any calories. I think if you wolf it down, it's like a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. But if it's a long time on the lips, then it just misses your hips. You never can tell, can you, really?
Straight past.
Just go straight past them. Ooh. It's like, oh, I wasn't supposed to be there. So, yeah, so what we're trying to say, really, it can be the simplest of things, can't it? You know, don't just grab that bar of chocolate. Don't just start thinking about the next thing. Just be mindful of what's happening here and now.
We've had a couple of perfect days in from Ruth, and that's Ruth Tudor, who's actually the president of the Students Association.
Stand by your chocolate bar. Presidents aren't lying.
So Ruth's perfect day would be sunny and lying about reading with her wee cat nearby. Oh, that sounds really nice. And Peter's perfect day would include a picnic lunch with his darling beloved on a mild spring day somewhere in the Downs or the Weald.
Oh, wasn't today then, was it? 38 degrees.
No. So some really lovely perfect days there. There are a few students out there starting to get really kind of anxious and stressed about their exam results. So one student in particular has said, I'm dreading getting my exam results in a few weeks' time. The more I think about it, the more I'm not at all confident that I did enough to pass. Is this a natural feeling that other students have? So clearly kind of quite desperate. I guess there's not much, you know, you can do after your exam to kind of help if you feel like you've done something wrong. You can't go back and kind of tweak it a bit. But this student certainly would really like some feedback, I'm sure, from our listeners out there about...
I think it's the waiting for the results that unnerves people, don't you think so?
Yeah.
It seems such a long time to have to wait. And as those days go by, you start to think, now I wish I'd have put that, and I wish I'd have done that, and why didn't I say that?
Do they know when the dates of their results should be out?
It's a couple of weeks yet, isn't it?
Summer, any time soon. I've heard some students already clicking refresh, refresh, refresh. So I think it varies, but kind of from now on, I think they'll start kind of...
Do they get notified by an email or something? They must have some formal notification.
It certainly goes up on your student home, doesn't it?
Yeah. We can't keep hitting refresh, can we?
No.
Because that will...
Crash the system.
That will crash the system, and it will crash your sort of own sort of well-being, won't it?
That's true.
I mean,
actually,
we recognise that it is a stressful time,
yeah.
But I think if you've got an idea that it's going to be 4 weeks, it won't come any sooner than that.
No.
If they've said it's four weeks or 6 weeks or whatever till your exam results.
Yeah,
I think we've got we can hear now from when I met with the new Vice Chancellor, Peter Horrocks. Went to his office in Walton Hall and, got to speak to Peter Horrocks. So shall we hear
I think we
a little
should.
Bit more of that interview?
Good one.
Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for your time today. You're the Vice-Chancellor of the Open University, and we're really, really grateful for your time here on OU Student Radio. Also, congratulations. I understand you've just been awarded a CBA for services to broadcasting.
So that's right, yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, got it the last weekend.
Brilliant. Well, that adds a little bit of pressure to us at OU Student Radio. Maybe later on we can get some tips from you about broadcasting. We're just starting out on this little journey. So you've been Vice-Chancellor of the OU for a couple of months now. It's obviously a huge job. How does it feel to be in charge of such a huge and important organisation?
Well, first thing is, it's very exciting. It's great to meet the students. It's great to meet the wonderful, motivated staff. And it's wonderful feeling the warmth and affection that there is towards the Open University from people that you meet outside the OU. The environment here at the Walton Hall, the campus at Milton Keynes, is very nice. And looking out of the window, you know, the birds and trees and grass and sunshine and so on. So it's extremely pleasant. It's a big job. There's lots of things to do, but I'm really relishing it.
So you've talked a lot about putting students first while you're here at the university. And we're hoping you could just tell us a little bit more about what that means. And are you looking forward to working with the Students Association?
Yes, absolutely. So for the staff of the university, it means thinking about students all the time. And I've asked them to think about, imagine there's a phantom student in your meeting, in your committee meeting, in your office. And if that student could see what you're doing, how you're spending your time, would that student whose loan obligation you're creating, would that student think that you're using that time effectively? So that's one part of it. The other part of it is how to involve students more in the direction of the university. What's the right way of being able to, with a student body that's obviously dispersed across the country and across the world, actually, how do we get the best understanding of what students are looking for to be able to adapt what we do to student needs and student outcomes? And that's something which we're starting the conversation on, and I'm very keen to hear what students themselves think about the way that the university should be meeting their needs in the future.
You've obviously got a really busy life, like lots of OU students, and today on the show we're talking quite a lot about mindfulness and how to keep your mind healthy while you're studying. I was just wondering if you had any advice on kind of study-life balance for students, any tips from you as a busy person?
Well, I'm going to be doing a module myself in the autumn. I'm not telling people what subject it is, but I'll be doing it under my own name. So maybe in the autumn, the people who are studying with me will clock my involvement. So that's part of my wanting to try it out for myself, to really be able to understand it from my own experience, because I think that should enable me to be able to be a bit more authentic and, you know, to really understand the issues. So I cycle to and from the campus. Sometimes I run to and from. It's about 5 miles, and I go and walk the dog. I'm digging the Vice Chancellor's vegetable patch and, you know, growing broad beans and things like that. So just quite simple things. And I use that to sort of think about things, but something that takes you away from that kind of intensity. If it's possible for you to build that into your day or into your week, that would be my advice.
That's a great tip. I really like that one. So we've seen you lots around on Twitter, Peter.
Well, I'm a great believer in using social media, and Twitter's a really effective medium. So I'm at Peter Horrocks. So if students want to follow me and know what's going on, and I'm keen to have as many student followers as possible. And from my last role, and from people who are now following me with the OU, I've got more than 11,000 followers. How many has the Students Association got?
We've got about 12,200, so a bit of a competition there.
So you're ahead. Oh, well, I'll have to gather lots of students and try and catch up and beat the Students Association account. Let's see who can get first to 15,000 wins.
Okay, deal. First to 15,000. Come on, OU students. Let's get retweeting. Could you describe to us your perfect day?
I think it would probably be on the coast somewhere. I'm going on holiday to Scotland, to the Hebrides this summer, but also the Norfolk coast, somewhere like that. And a good breezy walk with my wife and our dog Holly, and, you know, a nice pub lunch or something like that, and you know, probably a snooze in the afternoon, something like that. You know, just switching off, basically.
That sounds pretty good. Thanks very much, Peter, and we'll really look forward to working with you a lot more.
Okay, well, it's great to be here on OU Student Radio, and I look forward to being on if you'll have me back again sometime in the future.
I like the way he wants to help seek students' advice on the direction of the uni. I think we're all heading down the garden, aren't we, into the countryside and the fresh air. And what about him signing up as an invisible student? Hashtag finding Peter, I rather feel.
Sue, there's another place that students can turn to for support, and that's our student peer supporters.
Right.
And we're going to hear from some of our supporters now. And you can listen to a bit of an insight into the work that they do.
Today we're lucky enough to be joined by not one but two peer supporters. Because peer support is a confidential service, we're not going to be mentioning any names.
We're all students. That's the main reason, or the main qualification, I should say, for being a peer supporter. We do guard our confidentiality quite vehemently, and I think that's important. I think it's important to the students, and it's probably important for us as well.
How would a student find the peer supporters? How would they access that?
The best thing is to go to the student homepage, and there's two routes from there. We've got the lovely new dashboard, and if you click on that tab, there's a green heading for study links, and expanded if it's not expanded. But about the fourth thing down is the Student Association forums. When you click on that, about halfway down that page, just click on the words peer support and you'll be in, and you'll be able to post a message to one of us straight away. Also from the home page, on the left-hand side of the main page, there's a big heading, services. And if you expand that, you can click on study support, which is about the fifth entry down. On that next page that you get to on the right-hand side, very clearly it says juggling home, work and study. So, I mean, there's the clue, because that's what we're all doing, isn't it? And if you click on the OU Student Association, you'll see an article that describes what we do. And right at the very end, it says click here. And again, it takes you straight through to the forum page.
Well, that's lovely. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for your time, and thanks for showing interest in the peer support scheme.
Really, thanks to all our peer supporters and all our volunteers, all the volunteers that work on behalf of other students for the Students Association.
Yeah, absolutely. Some more updates from social media, Sue. Ooh. Do you remember our student problem? The student who was dreading getting their exam results back in a few weeks' time?
Oh, yes.
Well, we've had plenty of students here on social media saying that it's absolutely natural. Loads and loads of students saying it's natural. So do you want to hear from a few of them?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so Ashley... That's fear talking, not reality. If the student gave it everything they had, they will pass. You've got to have faith in yourself first and you will think positive.
Love our students.
Anna, I think this is a perfectly normal reaction to have, especially when the results are due to be posted so soon. But like we have been told countless times, oh, you look to give marks, not take them away. Good luck. Carrie said something really sensible here. I have to stop myself overanalyzing my exam answers and try not to keep looking things up. It's so nerve-wracking. You are not alone. And then finally, Sandra, perfectly normal reaction. I find that in the week after the exam and then in the run-up to results, I go over what I did, and the more I think about it, the more I find I think I should have written, but it's just fear of the unknown. If you were happy when you did the exam, then I doubt you have anything to worry about.
That's fantastic, isn't it? And what better advice to an OU student than from an OU student?
I think because we're all isolated, aren't we? Sometimes we forget that we're actually part of a huge number of students.
Yeah.
I mean, nearly a quarter of a million students out there.
Yeah.
And when you're talking to your cat, your dog.
Yeah. And if you can feel part of a student community, and if you can hear what other OU students are saying and know about what they're thinking, it just makes everything that little bit easier, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, we're now joined live in our hub of a studio by the Deputy President, who's laughing there in the background, Nick Morris.
Laughing already.
Hello.
Good evening, Nick.
Good evening, Sue.
How are you on this bright and sunny... Well, it's now...
Blue skies.
Well, it is still, yes, it's all come out blue skies and sunny now. That's because it's the evening.
And it's a little bit cooler, isn't it?
So yes.
And we're cool in here, aren't we?
Yes, a lot cooler than it was yesterday, which is a good thing.
So I've had to make a note of this because I couldn't even say it, even if I hadn't got it written down in front of me. Hashtag part-time matters campaign.
Indeed.
Now, what... Share it with me. What on earth is this all about?
Okay, this is a campaign that has been launched by an alliance of universities, businesses and unions to highlight the fact that there's been something like a 40% drop in students signing up for part-time undergraduate study since the fee hike. That in itself sort of explains why the hashtag part-time matters is quite important, what it means, because the campaign is to try and get the message across to government why part-time study matters. I was very lucky recently to be invited to attend a function hosted by our VC, Peter Horrocks, in the House of Commons recently. And they
House,
were...
House of Commons. House of Commons? Is this a student travelling to the House of Commons?
I know. It was a student left to their own devices, on their own, travelling to the House of Commons. It was interesting, I can assure you.
Wow.
Something I have ever done before, and not something I don't think I could do on a regular basis, because I don't know if I could find my way back there. It's a large building, too. You wouldn't think you could miss it. But, yes, it was actually an event that the President was invited to, and she was unavailable and deputised for her, which was a bit of an experience, quite an exciting one. But really, I was there very much to support our VC, who was hosting this event, and the university more generally, attending as an OU student and making my point about why part-time matters, why we matter, what we actually do, what we provide. So I was very much there. The people that had been invited to attend were people who might be influential in pushing this campaign forward, getting it to the right ears, etc. So there were some MPs there. There were other people from businesses and universities that are part of this campaign alliance. And really it was to support Peter Horrocks in what he was saying, that, you know, we've helped in social mobility, not just the OU, but us students who have been studying with the OU have helped with social mobility. Yep. We put a lot into the economy because a lot of us work while we're studying. And I think the numbers were something like 2 million students now have graduated with the OU in the past 40-odd years that it's been going. So as one of the largest providers of part-time undergraduate study, obviously it makes sense for the OU to be very heavily involved. And hopefully the students out there will agree with their students' association that we feel it's important that we're involved and that we support the OU in this campaign.
So, getting involved in the campaign, how can we as students of this university get involved in this campaign?
There are a few ways. You can lobby your MP. You can use the hashtag on Facebook and on Twitter. You can tell your own stories, your own study journeys, how that made a difference to your life. One of the guys that I was talking to at this event was a vice president from Shell who studied his MBA with the OU.
Wow.
Some years ago, I hasten to add. He's not a current student now. And when I was talking to him, I said, you know, do you feel that doing your MBA with the OU made a big difference to your career? And he was quite upfront and said, I would never have got as far as I did without it. You know, so those are the things that as students we can do. Get the message out there, keep the campaign highlighted on social media, give our stories and make sure the government understands why part-time matters.
Right. So how is our students' association getting involved then with this in general, really, if we want also the students out there to get involved? So.
Yeah, well, at present, we are obviously attending events that the university invites us to support the university in its sort of campaign, and it is quite high profile. Peter Horrocks first mentioned it in his inaugural speech at the OU Charter Day. So it has been around for a couple of months. So we've been trying to support the OU in raising the profile of the campaign. And there are plans afoot, largely in my head at the moment, but a couple of them have been discussed, you know, really to sort of make sure that we are keeping the profile of the campaign as high as we possibly can on social media, which obviously our team in the office were very busy doing the other day as well, which was really good. Yeah, you really appreciated it, actually.
So this is this hashtag Part-Time Matters.
Indeed. Yes.
Anybody who knows what a hashtag is, I just see hash as corned beef hash because I'm a techno geeky. But yes, it's hashtag Part-Time Matters, and it really does matter.
Yeah. What we don't want to see is our university and us students being any more adversely affected than we already have been after some of the changes in tertiary education in the last couple of years. So it's really important that we get behind the university on this because it really is for our benefit.
So we're on the campaign.
We are on a campaign.
Are we allowed to bring our chocolate bars on this campaign?
You may bring your chocolate bars as long as you bring some for me.
I'll be mindful to bring some.
Thank you very much.
I don't share. So you mentioned that the Students' Association was involved in stuff like this. So, and obviously we're all volunteering our time as students who were elected and stuff. What sort of things have you got out personally of being an elected student?
Oh, I would say probably there's two things that have dramatically changed in my life since becoming an elected USA rep. One of them is the numbers of friends I have.
Nice.
Very, very good friends, people I'd never have met, never have had the opportunity to meet if it hadn't have been through my involvement with USA. So that's been one really big dramatic change, going from a housewife with lots of small children under my feet to having this huge world outside of my house, which has been fantastic. And the other big thing is confidence.
Yes.
Because being said little housewife with lots of children under my feet, to be able to stand up in front of people and talk like we do at conference and things, to attend events at the House of Commons and have to sort of sit and have sensible conversations, which is unusual for me, you know, with people like MPs and things, you know, you do have to develop a confidence and an ability to speak in public, and they are skills I certainly didn't have before I was involved with USA. So from that point of view, it's really helped.
Can you relate to confidence, Mark?
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick says that she's developed a lot, but Nick saying that doesn't, you know.
You don't really see because that she lacks confidence.
No, because she's given me a lot of that. I remember when my very first meeting here on campus in Milton Keynes, and I was, you know, a bit
of a rookie.
As I was back then. If it wasn't for Nick, I don't think I'd probably be sitting here.
Oh, well, that's very sweet to say, but I was in your shoes myself once, and I remember coming to my very first meeting and saying absolutely nothing all weekend, if you can possibly believe that. And I had other people take me under their wing and help me and guide me through. So, you know, it's what we do. We get involved and we look after each other, don't we? So,
well, we were on the inaugural radio show, weren't we?
Indeed.
Something I'd never done before, and I don't think any of those present have done before.
Nope.
And
look at us now.
Yeah, look at us now.
I'm going with media lovies.
In this green room.
The first 25 minutes of that one, and we just looked at each other, and it was like, we've done 25 minutes. And today, actually, we'd done 20 minutes, and it was like, oh, we've done 20 minutes. So even now, this is our third radio show and stuff. We are all getting that confidence and taking a positive from it and being mindful and having chocolate.
And there's nothing more positive than helping your fellow student.
Do you think, Nick, that you take those skills into your professional life then?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, employability is a big word in education at the moment. Some of us see the need for it more than others, which is fair enough. We don't all think alike. But actually, the ability to be quite confident when I'm dealing with my own customers, particularly if I'm trying to convince them that actually the work does need doing, because my job can be a little bit tension-driven like that sometimes, is actually quite good. My, you know, being able to diffuse tense situations as well as, you know, sort of convincing people that, you know, this is the right way to go for their, you know, for their sake rather than for mine, is actually a really useful skill to have learned, and not something that I had before I joined OOSA. To be fair, I spent most of my time in holes in fields before I joined OOSA. Now I tend to spend a lot more time.
What is it you do, sir?
I'm an archaeologist. So way back then, I was doing a lot of digging and things, and these days I tend to write a lot more reports and deal direct with customers. So,
so although you're living in the past, it's jolly in the now.
Oh, it's always fun in the past. That's deep. I just deal in other people's rubbish. We'll leave it at that.
But Mark, just thinking, you've got your blog, haven't you? Which is something that students may be interested in as you develop your journey of confidence building, would you say?
I would. There are some times when things are all calm water, there's nothing really major happening, but then there's from time to time, whether it's, and I know I've mentioned travel a fair few times in my blog, so had, of course you mentioned your travel issues earlier, now I've sort of had a different sort of thing, so I mean, you know, it can stress you, but before, when I think, oh, the world's going to end, it's complete. You completely flipped on its head.
Do you know, I had exactly that experience when I was coming back from London the other day, and all the trains were cancelled at Paddington Station because of an incident further down the line. Now, a few years ago, I'd have completely panicked and wouldn't have known what to do with myself. And now I just sat there and I thought, that's fine, I'm going to go and find Paddington underneath the clock, go and sit with him for a couple of hours and wait until they start running trains again. Really didn't faze me, and yet 5-10 years ago I would have been beside myself, you know, and that's that sort of comes down to confidence again as well, because I wasn't that worried about, you know, well, I'll get home, there will be trains eventually.
My OU studies have sort of helped in that, because I studied the strategy module, like I said in one of my previous blogs.
Have we got another guest now, Sue?
I believe we have. We have Sharon Mallon, a lecturer in mental health.
We're really lucky to be joined by Sharon Mallon from the Health and Social Care Faculty at the Open University. Sharon is a lecturer in mental health. Thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome. I'm very happy to be here.
Can you just tell us a little bit about kind of the story about how you came to be a lecturer here at the Open University?
Well, my story with the OU starts actually quite a long time ago now, when I was a student here. I, up to the age of kind of 18, had been a straight A student, and I went to study medicine at Manchester University and really didn't get on very well with the course, so I dropped out. And then in my mid-20s, I started studying for a degree with the Open University. Completed that, did a PhD, and then eventually 2 years ago ended up working here as a lecturer, which was really great ending to the story, really, for me.
Wow, that's incredible. So you're an OU student and now you work here. And do you like working here?
Yeah, it's great. The campus here is absolutely, it's really beautiful. The grounds are wonderful. And there's a really nice atmosphere. Everybody is kind of working towards the best for the students. And you can kind of tell that. It comes out just in walking around the campus. I really like it.
We've been talking quite a lot about mindfulness on the show today. And we're just wondering if, we know it's not your kind of field necessarily, but we're just wondering if you could kind of give us a bit of an academic kind of perspective on mindfulness, or at least just your opinion, just because we're kind of collecting up what people think about it.
Well, I first became aware of mindfulness, I would say, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, when I saw Professor Mark Williams speak about it. And he was using it to encourage people at that time to get rid of very powerful negative thoughts that they had. And he was speaking about how when someone is depressed, they will think of a negative event much more quickly than a positive event, just because of the way their mindset is working at that time. And he was trying to use the techniques of mindfulness to retrain the brain to think of either more positive thoughts, or to think of just being in the moment and not kind of letting the mind run away with itself. And since then, it's really taken off. It's been great to watch it explode into the phenomenon that it is.
Just to kind of think about a bit more about kind of the modules and things, you've been working on a module recently, I think.
Yes, at the moment I'm working on a module called K240, which is called Mental Health in the Community. I've been working on that since I got here, and it's really exciting because it's just about ready to be launched in October. We've taken an alternative perspective to mental health, something which reflects really my whole academic career, which is looking at mental health as more than just an individual problem. It looks at how the external environment, the social environment around us, can impact on how we feel about the world and how we respond to it. Some of the week's learning that I've been working on really look at the impact of the place where someone lives, so whether or not they have access to park areas, whether or not they live in a traumatic part of the world. So we look at all of those things and how they impact on the individual. We also look at how families can contribute to mental health, and how really mental health, we look at how mental health has changed over the years and how treatment has changed in order to kind of problematise how we think of it today, and to think of alternative ways in which we might think of mental health and look after mental health, mm-hmm. and prevent some of the labelling and stigma that goes on for people who do have mental health mm-hmm. in our societies.
Well, hope it all goes really well, and good luck if anyone decides to study it too. Just to finish off, Sharon, if you could do anything for a day, what would your perfect day be?
Oh, my perfect day would definitely involve seaside. Probably a long but very plodding run in the morning to try and get the brain and the body awake. Maybe a bit windy, but definitely very, very sunny. Huge breakfast. Breakfast is my favourite meal of the day. I'm probably just relaxing, maybe, you know, some good conversation, probably with a random person, because I often think sometimes if you're open to being just smiley and quite open, you can have some brilliant random conversations with strangers and maybe bring a bit of happiness to their life and have them bring a little bit of happiness to yours. I remember one of my colleagues did a research study which showed that in order to improve mental health, we should maybe just be a bit nicer to each other. So I think in a perfect day, someone would be nice to me and I would be nice to someone back. And then probably watching the sun go down with a nice glass of sparkling wine.
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds like heaven. What a place to end it. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, we hope you got from Sharon's messages there some more thoughts as we're sort of coming towards the end of our couple of hours, which probably some of you may have thought have gone slowly because you've been in the moment, and some of you may have thought have gone fast. Mm. Yes, being nicer to each other.
I like that idea.
Getting rid of powerful negative thoughts. Mm. Yeah, is it all right if you get rid of all your thoughts, whether or not they're powerful or negative? I don't know. The chocolate is shouting at me, readers. And so be in the moment, I think.
Mm. Good
advice. What sort of moment would you be in, Mark?
My graduation, I think. It's the moment I relive every single day.
So nice.
And I think a lot of OU students out there would feel the same thing. Haven't been so already.
Yeah, shall we hear more about that?
Yes.
Okie dokie.
I'm Joel from the OU Student Shop. We've got some merchandise here for students to buy to help them remember their big day.
Hi, my name's Geraldine Farmer. I've been studying with the OU for the last 4.5 years, and today I'm really pleased because I'm going to pick up my degree today.
My name's Richard, and I've just done an MA in Classical Studies.
My name's Mary Geary. I was studying a business open degree.
Very excited. Had 7 years of study. Did a business studies degree.
BA honours in philosophy and psychological studies. I finished last year after 6 years.
My name's Liz and I studied for a master's in education.
I studied a master's of arts in online and distance education. It's taken me 8 years and it's wonderful to be finished.
We're the Association of Open University Graduates, all graduates ourselves, and we're volunteers, and we organise an organisation that's been going 27 years, which is extra to what the OU offer through alumni.
I'm chuffed to have it finished and to be here for this this award ceremony.
I haven't sank in yet. I'm still like, oh my God, yeah. No, it hasn't sank in yet, but yeah, I'm happy.
Really nervous and excited.
I mean, what I love about it for me is it's the University of Second Chance. So when I left school at 16, secondary education in Milton Keynes, a degree just wasn't an option, just wasn't offered. So when I went out into the world of work and saw other people getting on, I thought, oh, hang on a minute, oh, surely I could do a degree. And I can, but it took me 7 years. but so pleased I did, and the family's here and everything. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Amazing, fantastic, brilliant.
Just the emotion of it all. It's such a special day.
It's just really exciting today, being here with my family and my mum and dad. It's an important occasion for them.
Oh, amazingly proud of Jimmy, because I know that the OU degrees are very, very highly prized because of the quality of the academic aspects of it, but also the very hard work that you're expected to put in to achieve it. So I know that this is a remarkable achievement, and I know our late father, God rest him, would be incredibly proud today. So, yeah, very proud day for the family.
I have been this year, apart from London and Brighton, I have been to all of them this year. Well, it's beautiful. Everyone is magical. Everyone is different. The venue, the people you meet, the families. So every single one is different. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I did my first degree with the Open University, and having finished that, I got the bug for studying and just carried on. Just keep at it. Keep working and you get there in the end.
All I can say to students who are still in the trenches, keep going, keep plugging away, get up early, go to bed late. It's all worth it in the end. Keep going.
Well, it hasn't been easy. So what I would actually advise people would just be, like, take your time, know what you want to study, obviously be committed to what you're doing as well, because it's not quite easy yet. And then also, you know, just live life as it is and just be committed to your work, and that's about it.
Just keep going. And there are times when you think, oh, is it really worth it? Yeah, of course it is. You just have to keep going.
It's a long drag, but you have to keep pressing. Don't give up.
Just go for it. It's amazing. All the things you'll learn are amazing, and you'll be able to take it with you forever.
Just see it as an objective and work your way towards it, and just know that you can achieve it.
It'll all be worthwhile. It's hard work at the time, and sometimes you do wonder how you're going to get through it, but we do. And it's great to get there. There's such a sense of achievement.
Hard work does pay off. Yeah, it paid for me.
Graduation day.
Wow, sends shivers up your spine, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I think it's a time of rejoicing and being in the moment, and being in the mosh pit in your gown.
Yeah,
is just lovely. Mm. Whether or not you're going to be graduating later this year because you've come to the end of your journey, whether or not you're at the beginning of the journey and you'll be graduating over the coming years. We hope that today you can take something that will help you be mindful and take time to be in the now. We're aware you have busy lives. We're all students ourselves, aren't we? And it may be that whatever you've picked up from today could be a step onto a ladder up to help you up if you've been a bit down or a bit floundery in the land of student villain general life. Or if, on the other hand, you're flying a bit high, perhaps it's offered you something to grip onto to just sort of bring you down.
You put it so beautifully,
and,
well,
Sue. You know, it is. It's a roller coaster of a ride, isn't it? And sometimes,
totally.
If you are keeping all these things up in the air, family, life,
yep.
study,
yep.
whatever it is. And I think, having listened and learned today, one of the things to sort of come across that will, I think, will really, really help students is to ask for help sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, yeah. definitely. You shouldn't struggle on your own. You should not struggle alone. There's so many support services out there.
Yeah, we've got the Nightline, haven't we?
Yeah, and Students Association.
The forums,
services.
Your
yeah.
tutor, your student support
That's right.
teams.
That's right.
Just get in contact with us. We have got all the contacts which you're aware of. We've got phone, we've got email, we've got Facebook,
yeah.
Twitter,
yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah.
And
just be part of the student community, help each other.
Yeah.
Let's get through this together.
And you can still contact us if you're listening on catch up, can't you? Mm-hmm. Because we can do the, going back to the old days, hashtag keep Wendy happy,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
yeah.
the first one.
And
I
they'll
heard.
Make us even happier if they follow us on Twitter and beat Peter Horrocks.
Yeah. Yes, we've got to beat the...
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to be campaigning,
yep.
haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Part-time matters.
Hashtag part-time matters campaign. We are part-time students, and it really does matter what is happening to part-time students. Mm. So that's something to get your teeth into if you've
yeah.
never tried anything before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get on
get
that.
Get
behind it. Get in front of it. Get round it.
Yeah.
Yes. We've spoken to a lot of people, we've chatted amongst ourselves about what is the perfect day. It's a day that's, or something that's pretty simple and achievable,
yeah,
isn't
definitely.
It?
The definitely.
The simple things.
Yeah.
You know, how to eat a chocolate bar slowly, that's enjoyable, and savouring that moment. So just give something a try. You only have to do it once. You can do it in the privacy of your own garden. You can walk along the beach rounding
yeah.
up all these
yeah.
stray dogs or tiny dogs that were talked about earlier at the seaside. Mm. Lots of OU students at the seaside.
Yeah.
yeah.
Perhaps that's where tutorials and stuff should
Ought
happen.
To be.
I don't know.
Oh, nice.
It's a good idea.
Beach oh, yes.
tutorials.
As a challenge for all our OU students who are listening, who are coming to the end of their journey, join a society, then that way you're still meeting other OU students. Wherever you are, live your perfect day
yeah.
and tell us about it.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Thanks to all our guests. See you again soon.